God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to lift us up. God's word to encourage us. It's in St. Peter. It's amazing that it's in St. Peter, the disciple who denied the Lord three times, and yet the Lord restored him through his forgiveness and love. So Peter writes to the Christians, writes to you, writes to me. Here in the fifth chapter, the 10th and 11th verse, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Such is God's word for us. And as we think about our lives and as we think about who we are, I want you to think about how you would describe yourself. Someone who don't know you. How would you describe yourself to someone who didn't know that you were a Christian? That you believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How would you describe yourself to those people? Oh, I suppose we could say that, you know, people know me because of what I do. I usually don't wear a collar around town or anything else. And when I was active, I never wore a suit and tie, whether it was in Langdon in Munich, North Dakota, or whether it was International Falls, Minnesota, Mapleton, Iowa, or even Lake City. One of my first shut-ins I visited when I was in Langdon, North Dakota, it was a hot day. I went out with my shirt and tie neatly done, and even though sweat was pouring down my brow, going out to a former farmer's house. And as she opened up the door, she looked at me and she said, "Pastor, get rid of that tie. It's too hot." Usually when pastors are visiting and they have the collar on, people know that they're pastors. Can be describing who we are. Well, how do you describe yourself? Maybe you describe yourself as one who's very encouraged and, oh gosh, this is such a beautiful day and I have no problems whatsoever. Or maybe you might even describe yourself as one who has been suffering. Whether it's been a painful disorder in your body, or whether it's been a relationship that you've had with someone, or your family has had with someone that breaks apart, or it's some other kind of thing. But we don't like to describe ourselves as those who are suffering, because we're really not suffering. We're worshiping in a church. We're not closed out. We're not picked apart by someone out in the community. We're able to worship. We're able to live. Why? And you know, we're not suffering. But yet we suffer as a Christian. And suffering as a Christian reminds us about our life. That our life is lived in Christ Jesus. And in this day and age, it's getting more, or I should say, it's getting less and less and less likely that people will declare Christ as Lord. It's a tragedy. And it happens throughout our world. Working for Schleicher Funeral Home gives me the opportunity to see what others do and what others say at funerals. It is getting less and less and less that people will have services. It's getting less and less and less that they'll have even a graveside service. So we suffer as Christians because we want to have Christ involved in our funeral. Whether it's at the funeral home or the church or wherever, we want Christ involved. And having Christ involved starts to be a suffering theme because people don't believe in Jesus. And so we do suffer for a while because our lives are very, very fragile. Our faith is fragile. As we were discussing prayer this morning in Bible class, prayer is one of those instruments that God gives us that we don't take time to use in communication with Him. We would rather communicate on our phones, our texting, or everything else. But pray to God? No. Why? He knows all things. Why pray? That's one of the suffering things being a Christian, being one who believes in Jesus and believes by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we include in our prayers and we include in our life. It's easy to wake up in the morning, shut off the alarm, or not even shut off the alarm, but get up, have the coffee, have the breakfast, and oh, now what are we going to do? And we can forget about God altogether. That's part of suffering for the Lord, to take time out to communicate, to let others know who we believe in and why we believe. Because as we take time to be in the Lord, whether it's devotion or prayer, it reminds us who we are. Or I could put a bunch of letters behind my name to describe who I am. But it doesn't do justice to who I am. The Christian should be there all the while because it reveals who I am. It reveals who I believe in. That I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Peter said, he says, after you have suffered a little while, it doesn't say how long. It could be a month. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be two. It could be three. And yet, he says, God will come and lift you up and be a witness, a testimony to your faith and how God uses. This is the most interesting fact of our life as Peter writes about the suffering. And to get to know Peter, he kind of looks at life not as an instant gratification, but it takes a long time. It's like a marathon. A marathon is 26 miles. A marathon is hard work. And towards the end of the race, they put a heel in. The heel takes care of the stragglers. But only the top are able to get over the hill. Well, in Lake City, we also have on water ski days, my Rotary Club, we sponsor a 5K, 10K, walk and run, a half marathon, and also a kids run. And some people complained that the half marathon, when they got to the finish line, nobody was there. This year, they decided that they were going to put down there that at 10 o'clock, everyone's gone. And I'm thinking, no, those stragglers that are do go out there and walk and run and take their time. Make it in after 2 minutes after 10, and there's nobody going to be able to greet them. You see, our lives exemplify that marathon. Our lives in this world, this life, exemplifies a marathon because it's a long, stretched life. And you're going to say, Pastor, someone died when they were little or very young. Yes, that's true. But really, our life is run like a marathon. And when you run a race of marathon, you run every different kind of terrain, whether it's blacktop or concrete or bushes or gravel or trees or anything else. A marathon runs by many different things. So our life as a marathon, we all face many kinds of challenges, many kinds of difficulties, many different kinds of things going on. So last year, January, we had a little glimpse in our life, a little hitch, when my beloved wife, Karen, had to have a new hip, and not planned. So January 1, 2026, her beloved husband, Scott, decided that, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad hurting yourself and breaking a bone. So I got it into her kind of corral. Difficulties. And yet God continues to use us in his world. Even if we've suffered a little while, God says through Peter, he will come back to strengthen and to use you. And this is what God does each and every day with us. He uses us who have been given a basket full of blessings. You don't think you're blessed. You are. You're blessed with such a wonderful life. I used to, when on Facebook, you know, it says, so-and-so's birthday today, you might want to remember and send a happy birthday to him, and I would just say happy birthday. Then I said, you know, that's kind of dumb because they know you're a Christian. So everyone that popped up, I would say happy birthday. Enjoy this day that God, the Lord, has given you, has blessed you with. This is amazing because God has blessed each and every one of us with this day. And enables us to testify about him. This is what's great about being a Christian. This is what's great about being a pastor, a shepherd. This is what's great about being a Christian, believing in Lord Jesus Christ, that when we die, we know where we're going to go. We know who we're going to be with. We know of that great and awesome Lord God, who sacrificed his son on the cross for all of our sins and has given us life everlasting and forgiveness of sins, not in what we do, not in how we suffer, not in how God blesses, but in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, giving us life everlasting and the forgiveness of sins. Catch them on the hills. Catch them on the hill. Catch them as you run that marathon. And know that God is with you. In Christ's holy name, amen.